I'm so thankful I got to go, but I'm really thankful to be home.
Aren't you glad she's home? I'm glad she's home. I felt like I was missing a leg or an arm or something when you weren't here at church. And I'm thankful for my mom. Very, very thankful. And she left out a story that she told me that she was in an underground cave. And she said, I'll never go through there again. It scared me half to death. So what's that? Yeah. Well, we're glad you're home. I'm glad you're home. Well, I want to tell you a little bit about what's going on in my life. Do you mind if I share a little bit about what's going on? So 2 years ago, we started a ministry on Tuesday night, an outreach ministry. How many of you know what an outreach ministry is? It's not like a church service, okay? Church services can be outreach, but this is a work of evangelism, one of the fivefold gifts in the scriptures, and that's what we do on Tuesday night. Andy, thank you so much. Give Andy a hand tonight, would you? And we started, and when we started, Ben Martin and I were out on the basketball floor. We were trying to do something, make something happen. Michael was out there. Many of you came and helped us, the men, get the ministry off the ground. It developed from there, and my ears are super plugged tonight. I have no idea why, so if you give me just a little help up front there, I want to make sure I don't sound like something I shouldn't sound like. But we started, and God just began to do fantastic things. And this is a picture of last Tuesday night. This is two nights ago. Pretty big attendance. I don't know. There's a couple hundred people there on Tuesday night. And it's been my profound joy to be able to lead many, many, many young people and also adults to salvation. Many of you have helped. Jessica has helped me pioneer the event. I think she joined me about a year ago as she's really the director. I just walk around like I'm important, and she takes care of everything else. But so thankful to be able to do that. But backing up, I have a little testimony for you. Backing up a little bit, we got a call about a year ago from the city, the county youth bureau, the YMCA had called, and the United Way had called, the YWCA was a little bit involved, but not extremely involved, a little bit involved. They called and they said, we'd like to talk to you. And so we met up with them, and we've had some meetings. We had some meetings right along. And they expressed to us their interest in becoming involved in our Tuesday night ministry, because the truth of the matter is we had a lot of kids there and they didn't have any kids. And that's just the truth of the matter. And that's God's hand on the ministry. That's the working of the Holy Spirit. I'm going to tell you right now, I'm not smart enough to make that happen. I'm not good enough. I'm not orchestrated enough to make all that happen. The Holy Spirit, by his divine hand, put that together. He laid his hand on the event. And Chuck and Linda Wood said something to me earlier tonight. They said, we had revival, and that's what you're having. I think, Grandpa, you said that to me. We're having revival over there. Revival is people who don't know Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior encountering Christ in a profound way and accepting him as their Lord and Savior. When you crack the door of heaven, when you enter into heaven, you're going to get met at the door, and you're going to take an account for what you didn't do. And so I want to pour out my life. I want to do everything I can do to expand the work of the ministry, to fulfill the Great Commission, amen, and do the work of the Lord. So we had, and I'm not exaggerating, 100 meetings with these officials, the city manager. We lost the city manager halfway through those conversations, which was a complete nightmare. Just to be honest, we lost the director of the United Way. Things you never hear, I'm sharing. And a year goes by, And I want to give you a quick testimony. Monday night, I went to a city council meeting, which I've been to a lot of them lately. Dear Jesus. Monday night was the last one. It was essentially, it was about a 2.5 hour meeting. They had a lot going on there on Monday night. But one of the orders of business that night was the signing of a lease with the City Church of Batavia to move into the facility on Liberty Street and partner with our Tuesday night ministry, and that happened. Finally. And I want you to realize, I want you to know the hand of God in that, and the opportunity to minister to young men and women. And not only young men and women, but adults that might never crack the door of a church, but they'll go to the youth bureau. So we've been given the awesome opportunity to partner with 5 organizations and collaborate in an organization which is called Teen City. Right, Susie? Teen City we've just begun to see the light of what Teen City is going to be. What that ministry will become. And I want to personally invite you. I want to invite you to become a part of it. If you're looking for a place, I'm going to talk a little bit tonight about becoming planted. But before I do, I want to personally invite you. If you haven't found a place to serve, some of you haven't really found your niche. You haven't found your place. You haven't found something that you can be involved in. I want to invite you to Tuesday nights, 5 to 8 o'clock. There's so much to do. I promise you with all my heart, we'll find something for you to do at that those Tuesday nights. And I can tell you, and I think many of the volunteers that are here tonight will tell you, it's done far more for me in my heart than I've done for them. And they would tell you the same. Wayne, he's there just about every week. Mike Strands, wherever he is in the back there, he's there just about every week. Many, many others. Ben's there helping. Nathan comes with his wife. It's just been a fantastic time. So that's my testimony for tonight. Is that all right? Amen. My dad is tonight. He's in Arkansas. Am I telling the truth? He's in Arkansas tonight. He is preaching at a missions conference, and a missions conference where they pay him to come, they pay him to stay, and they pay him to preach. So that's where he is tonight. Can you say amen? Amen. And the reason I share that with you, I think it's important for you to hear that. I think it's important for the house of the Lord when your pastor goes away not to think you're footing the bill on that trip. They're footing the bill, and they want them there for impartation into the ministry there, and I'm glad he's doing that. Amen? And the other thing that's important to say is you didn't pay for your trip to Israel either. You didn't pay for it. She didn't pay for it. Christians United for Israel paid that trip for her and her stay and all that for 10 days, and that's significant. Beautiful trip, and but it's important for you to hear that. So Dad is in Arkansas tonight, so you're stuck with me, okay? This Sunday is what? Palm Sunday. I like that. Matthew 21, I was reading today. Oh, before I move on, this coming Tuesday, we're going to have an Easter egg hunt. We're going to have games. We're going to have bike repairs. Bike repairs, yeah. You laugh, but the kids, you can give them a bike, but if you don't fix the bike after it breaks, they can't ride it. So we were hit up over and over and over and over again to fix bikes, and Miss Jessica Klisch organized Mr. Ben Martin, and I think you got somebody else helping you that night. So they're going to do that. But Palm Sunday, Easter Sunday, you got them invites. Why don't we do that right now? Let's do that. Hand them out. Boys, come here a second, would you? Go hand them out. We got invites for Easter. We got invites for our Easter egg hunt. And I saw this some time ago, and I wanted to show you this. The statistics the percentages of how people start attending church. That's pretty profound. Those percentages, those statistics basically tell you that the pastor of the church inviting people to church is not very useful. Advertising for the church, not very useful. Organized visitation, not very useful. But you inviting someone to church, look at that. Isn't that crazy? That is absolutely astounding that 86% of people who get invited to church, that's why they end up attending church. Now, I want to ask something, and you know that I'm a little crazy and I'm a little wacky and I'm a little out of the box, but I want to ask you this question, but just elbow your neighbor and say, don't get mad at him. It's just a question. I want to ask somebody, I want to ask all the people in the room, when is the last time you invited someone to church and were persistent about an unbeliever attending with you? How many of you have done it in the last month? Okay, that's pretty good. How many of you have done it in the last 2 months? Let's try this. How many of you have done it in the last year? Okay, so here's what I'm trying to say to you. Invite somebody to church, because if you don't invite them, they won't come. Okay, and I want to just give a shout out to a friend that I invited tonight, Greg. Thank you for being here. It's your first time here. I appreciate you coming. Give him a hand, would you? And that's the way it works. So please invite someone. Palm Sunday, Easter Sunday, we've got some awesome. Aaron's been working with my dad, putting together some very awesome services, messages, and so on. And let me say this, and then I'm going to get into the Word. When you preach every week, okay, I'm giving my dad a little bit of a plug right now. When you preach every week, that's a lot of work, okay? Me getting up here once in a while, once a month, once every 6 months, whatever the term is, you know, it's kind of doable, okay? Because you got some time to really get some oomph behind you. But when you preach every single week and you have that pressure on you to bring something, because you're coming in expecting a word from God, right? Amen. And when you got that pressure on you, that's real. Aaron and I talk about it all the time. That's a lot of pressure. That's a lot of pressure to walk in every single week and preach the Word. And I'm not up here saying that you should feel bad for my dad, but I am saying pray for your pastor. Keep them in, you know, if you got a list of prayer needs, requests, things you pray for, keep your pastor in prayer, because I hate to tell you, he's human. And I know that better than anybody in the room. So keep him in prayer. Will you do that? Amen. I'm going to be teaching tonight out of the Psalms, and we'll get there in just a few minutes. It's an extreme honor for me to be able to have the opportunity in life to minister to many, many people. I pray for a lot of people during the week, communicate with a lot of people during the week. The last message that I preached, how many of you remember the last message I preached? Just wave at me. All right, I'm going to give you a test on it later. I preached a message about Peter. My mom kind of made mention to it, and we got to a point, and Ben Martin got me some props out. We got to a point where Peter had to make a decision. He was faced with a decision to make a change. He had continued doing something that he failed. He worked all night. The Bible literally says that he worked until he didn't have any clothes on. How many of you know that's a hard working night? And so he was working all night. He was frustrated. And Jesus walks up the beach and he says, "Have ye any meat?" And he looks down in the boat and he's like, "Jesus, you know the answer. but you're going to make me answer you anyway. And he looks up at Jesus, and he says something that's not easy to say. I don't have anything. I've worked all night. I don't have anything to show for it. So I got done preaching that message, and I had several people that next week ask me something that I felt the Holy Spirit really push me to minister on tonight. And I really didn't want to because I didn't feel like I had anything to profoundly share on it. Thank God, eventually, he gave me something about a week ago. A person asked me, several people asked me this, Ryan, I feel like I've been Peter, but I've been Peter for many, many, many years. Not just a night, not just a week, not just one time, not just two times, but over and over and over again. And I'll be totally honest with you. I have felt that way at times. I felt like I've done something and done it over and over and over again and thought to myself, God, what am I doing that I'm not doing this the right way, that you've cursed me? How many of you ever talked to God like that? Have you cursed me, God? I mean, what have I done that's so bad that I'm not producing anything out of this boat? So as I've been asked this question, it kind of brought me to something that's kind of a personal testimony. And I want you to be very careful tonight. If you don't hear my heart, you won't hear the message. If you hear the words that I speak and you don't hear my heart in it, you'll miss the message. But if you listen to the heart when I preach this, you'll catch what I'm about to minister on. I was in Lima today. I was at Elam Bible College. I was with Pastor Mike Cavanaugh, who is the president of the college out there. And he said to me, he said, Ryan, I am a life student. He said, I never want to stop learning. I always know that when someone comes to see me, they have something to offer me, not just me offer them. And he said these profound words, and I heard them ringing in my spirit this week. When people say they don't like change, it often means they don't like to learn. Listen to this. Education changes you, and it changes things. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you tonight for your word. Thank you that it changes our hearts. I even pray for those who didn't come tonight because they were frustrated. They were aggravated. Something or someone or some spirit kept them from entering your house tonight. I pray for those people. I pray that you'd minister to them. I pray that you'd help them. Thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. After this person asked me this question, are you still with me? Are you still following me? After they asked me this question, what do you do, Ryan? It kind of left me pausing and thinking, what do I say to this person? Have you ever been there where someone asks you something, you're like, what in the world? How do I respond to this? God, give me something. I need like a download right now. And I said to them, let me think on that a little bit. And they said to me, this next thing they said, will you pray for me? And we pray for people all the time. We meet people here at the altar and many, many prayer requests, things we never repeat, things that we don't repeat to try to embarrass people. We really bring them to the Lord. And I said, of course, I'll pray for you. How can I pray for you? And I want you to catch this because it really triggered something in my heart and in my spirit. They said, Ryan, I need you to pray for my job. My job, I'm in a really rough place at my work. I'm really struggling, and I don't feel like I should be there anymore. I'm aggravated by it. And I said, okay, well, let's pray for that. But hold on, I want to tell you something else. I need you to pray for my marriage, too. Because my marriage is really a wreck, and things are just, you know, we don't talk and we can't get along, and you know, it's a really bad time. Okay, so we're gonna pray for your job, and we're gonna pray for your marriage. Okay, let's pray. Oh, wait, just a second. Let me just tell you one more thing. You know, I just want to tell you, too, that I want you to pray for this. I don't have any friends. Okay, I find it very difficult to have friends, and I want you to pray for that. I want you to, you know, pray that I can start making some friends and so on. Okay, well, so we're going to pray. We have this, we have this, we have that. But wait. You're getting the point. And they kept unloading on all these things that they're struggling with. And I thought to myself, and I felt this clear as day, the Holy Spirit speak to me and say, that's it right there. That moment where Peter looks down and he says, Jesus says to him, have you any meat? And he's got to look back at Jesus and say, no, I don't have anything. It's kind of like saying, hey, will you pray for me for this? Will you pray for me for this? Will you pray for me for this? And I said, Lord, and I want to look at the person and say, this is more of a conversation than a prayer. But how many of you know that the more people you talk to, the more people that you interact with, that's more normal than abnormal? Am I saying it right tonight? If you don't interact with me, I'll feel like I'm all alone. I feel like it's very normal. I feel like in society, the more people I talk to, and I'm telling you, I talk to a lot, I hear the same thing over and over again. My life is a wreck from A to Z. I don't know what to do. And I said, Lord, you're gonna really have to help me with this. And he gave me this. And this is a personal testimony of my life. And if you really cling on to this tonight, if you really cling on to this, you're gonna turn the page. There's some people in here, you say, yeah, that's exactly who I am. I got all that stuff going on that person just asked you to pray for. That's me to a T, Ryan. You know, that's exactly how I feel. I want you to hit this video, Paul. I want you to watch this, and then I want to teach on it after you watch it. Take a peek.
Have not been the same since. City Church has impacted our family in ways that I'm not even sure we can fully describe. We have a better marriage, a calmer home, just an incredible future, all because of what we've gained. The opportunities that have been facilitated for our family and our children is inexpressible.
Yeah. On a more personal level, as far as how it's affected me, I walked into the City Church a pretty hardened guy. Just very focused, not necessarily loving, caring, just focused on my family, taking care of my family, making sure that we were provided for. And the group of people here have taught me how to do that, how to not be afraid to get emotional, and just how to teach my son and my daughter how to get fulfillment out of life, and that's through love, and just knowing that they're loved by their father.
Yes.
And their mother. Just knowing that the Lord loves you, and if you're in the place where you're supposed to be, which for us is City Church, you're going to be surrounded by people that really love you and care about you. You know, 18 years ago when I set my guitar down in the basement and focused on taking care of my family, that was what I lived for, to have that come back and be a dream that has come to fruition, and because I play on stage every week and I'm really enjoying it and loving it. It's just made my life so much more enjoyable. So I just encourage you to invite someone that you might not think
yes.
wants to come here. Because I'll be honest, I didn't want to come to church. I came because my wife asked me to come to church, and my life has grown for the better exponentially since then.
Absolutely. Just invite someone. You have no idea. It could change the course of their lives the way it changed the course of the Vineyards. Right from Steve and I, our marriage, our home, our children, our lives have changed immensely. But we wouldn't have walked through those doors if someone hadn't invited us.
Yeah, give him a hand. In the 25 years that I've been around church, in the 25 years that I've met literally thousands of people, in the 25 years that I've interacted with people, there's one commonality in all that. I have never met a person who has been rooted in the house of the Lord that continues on a path of frustration like Peter had. There's moments, there's struggle, there's tough times, but it's not a continual lack. It is not a continuation of year in and year out. But here's the catch. Going to church doesn't create that in your life. Going to church, showing up at church. You can go to church and the devil won't give a rip. You can show up every week. You can walk in the door. You can walk out the door. And you can never receive the change that you knew. Because I knew some of your minds went there. Well, I've been coming to church here and my life's still a wreck. So, Ryan, you don't have anything to say to me. Hold on a second, honey. Coming to church doesn't do that in a life. Come on now, I'm coming at you. I'm going to bullet right down the aisle to you. Coming to church doesn't do that in a life. Being the church does that in a life. And so you say, Ryan, well, you know, that sounds good and everything, but I want you to prove it to me. I'm glad you said that. Psalms 1 says, oh, the joys of those who do not follow the advice of the wicked, or stand around with sinners, or join in with mockers. But their delight is in the law of the Lord, meditating on it day and night. They'll be like the trees planted. I want you to tell your neighbor, planted. Along the riverbank, bearing fruit in each season, their leaves will not wither. They will prosper in all that they do, but not the wicked. They're like the worthless chaff scattered in the wind. They will be condemned at the time of judgment. Sinners will have no place among the godly. For the Lord watches the path of the godly, but the path of the wicked leads to destruction. And I want to say this to you, and I know this is, I know I can be guilty of being a little harsh and a little pointed, but I still feel like there's some people you say, well, I've been planted, I've gone to church, I've served in the church, but my life's still a wreck. I want to propose something to you based on Psalms 1. You can't have crazy stuff going on when you walk out the door and think your life is going to be planted next to living water. Perversion comes up. That becomes your fruit. I know. Tough to hear. Tough to hear. You can't be in an affair and ask God, why is my wife so miserable? Let me take it a little further. You can't text another woman more than you text your wife and ask God, why is my life a mess? You can't be an alcoholic and ask God, why is my life? And I love the person in an affair. I love the guy that texts other women. I love the drug addict. I love all these people, but you're asking me what you need to do to flourish. So I'm just telling you. If you're planted in the house of the Lord, if you're serving the Lord, if you're doing what the scripture says and you don't have perversion in your home, I'll guarantee you, listen to what I'm saying tonight. I'm a living testimony. I'm a living testimony of the goodness of God being planted in the house of the Lord. I'm the guy. I've been planted in the house. And I've had some low dips. And those that have been around here long enough, you know some of those dips. And guess what? 90% of it wasn't the devil. You know who it was? Me. I'm going to give you a little more proof. Say he's got more proof. Psalms 92. Are you ready for this? This is good. I'll tell you. It's not my typical message. Usually I'll pick a story in the Bible and just tear it apart and preach from it. Ah! But tonight I'm giving you a little just practical because I really feel the Holy Spirit gave it to me. Psalm 92, listen to this. It is good to give thanks to the Lord, to sing praises to the Most High. That's what we do on Sunday morning. I don't get up there and sing because I'm an emotional basket case and I need an outlet for my emotions. Sorry to tell you, I'm not that guy. It is good to proclaim His unfailing love in the morning. I don't get up and proclaim His unfailing love in the morning because I'm emotional. I do it because why? Because the word of the Lord says I should do it. And when I begin to do it, things start to happen in my life. Your faithfulness in the evening, accompanied by the 10-string harp and the melody of the string. See, when I started doing it when I was Kai's age, I just did it because my parents told me to. That's the only reason I did it. I swear to you. But the older I got, the more I read in His word, the more I begin to understand why I should do it. I jump up in the morning. I'm going to sing praises unto His name because I'm about to flourish because of what I'm doing. I'm getting there. Accompanied by the 10-string harp. You thrill me, Lord, with all You have done for me. I sing for joy because what You have done, that's what we do. Oh, Lord, what great works You do and how deep are Your thoughts. Only a simpleton would not know. And only a fool would not understand this. This isn't my words. It's the words of Jesus. This is God's word. Though the wicked sprout up like weeds and evildoers flourish, they will be destroyed forever. But You, O Lord, will be exalted forever. Your enemies, Lord, will surely perish, and evildoers will be scattered. I'm getting to the point here, so just stay with me a second. But You have made me strong as a wild ox. You have anointed me with the finest oil. My eyes have seen the downfall of my enemies. My ears have heard the defeat of my wicked opponents. And listen to this. But the godly will flourish like the palm trees and grow strong like the cedar of Lebanon, for they are, listen to this, this is so powerful, for they are transplanted to the house of the Lord. It's like saying they are redeemed unto the house of the Lord. They are saved unto the house of the Lord. They are brought, they are transplanted into the house of the Lord. They will flourish in the courts of our God, and even in old age they will produce fruit. They will remain vital and green. They will declare, the Lord is just. He is my rock. There is no evil in Him. It's 8 o'clock, okay, and I'm done. And this is what I want to tell you. Just a couple things, and I got off my notes, and that's just what I do. So, number one. Your roots grow deep. This is the first lesson. When you are planted in the house of the Lord, your roots grow deep. Jeremiah 17 says, they are like trees planted along the riverbanks with roots that reach deep into the water. Such trees are not bothered by the heat or worried by the months of drought. Can I tell you something? The drought can come. The wind can come. The heartache can come. All the nonsense of life can come along. When you're rooted in the house of the Lord, you might get pushed around. The leaves might get blown off your tree. You might look a little tarnished. You might look a little torn up. Your marriage might be on the fritz. Your finances might be on the fritz for a second. Storms will call. The Bible says the rain falls on the just and the unjust. Things just happen. People get cancer. People get blood clots. People go bankrupt. People are sad. People are happy. Things happen, but they're rooted in the house of the Lord. And the roots go so deep that the wind is blowing back and forth, but they're not moved. That's what the word says. That's what the word says. It's not what I say. I'm just a living testimony of it. Bradley, are you a living testimony of it? The kid walks in all tattered. I call him a kid in a respectful way. Comes in all tattered, comes in all torn up, implants himself. You know, the easiest thing in the world to do is get mad in church. Well, so Sister so-and-so said this to me, so I'm pulling up my roots and moving on. brother so-and-so looked at me the wrong way, so I'm pulling up my roots and moving on. How many times would you have done that, Chuck, if every time you got mad, you left? You'd do it tonight, right, Cheryl? I'm being serious, though. They're planted. It doesn't say they're... Let me tell you something else about Peter, too. Jesus didn't tell him to look at his boat. He didn't tell him to go get a different lake. He didn't tell him the people you're with stink. He didn't tell him any of that. Have you any meat? He had to look at himself and look where he was at. Some of you have been planted in the house of the Lord. You don't even recognize the blessing that's on your life. Look at the seed. Look what happens when you're planted. I love this time of year, springtime, beautiful season. Number one, your roots grow deep. Number two, your roots produce fruit. They produce fruit. I can tell the people that are planted. I can see them a mile away. Look at Grandpa Chuck back there. Hair's all gray. He's all suited up. He's back there teaching faith tonight. That's the fruit of the Holy Spirit. What are the fruits of the Holy Spirit? Can you buy those things? Can you write a check for those things? That's good preaching right there. You're not amening me like you should. They produce fruit right here. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. You know why some of us lack these things? Because we're not planted in the house of the Lord. That's good preaching. I'm sorry. I just preached myself happy. I'm happy. I don't care if you're happy. Just because the environment isn't perfect doesn't mean you can't grow. Things aren't always perfect in a family. This is the family of God. And let me tell you something. I've got mad at people in here. Just going to happen. I'm working through it. You're going to get mad at me. I'm going to get mad at you. I don't always get my way. You're not always going to get your way. Right? But I'm planted. I'm not running off at the first sign of trouble. Just not going to happen. When you get planted, your Christian high, you get hooked on things like serving. And I got to wrap it up here because I don't want to go late. What does a seed need to grow and flourish? There's just a few things. I messed you all up, Paulie. I'm sorry. It needs soil. That's your heart. It needs light. That's God's word is a lamp. Come on, that's good. Water. Jesus is the living water. Temperature. The fire of the Holy Spirit. Let me tell you something. The number one reason why people leave churches, because they can't handle the fire of the Holy Spirit. When people preach messages like this, it makes people mad. It just does. I heard the messages when I was a kid. I resented the messages. Did I not? For many, many years. I'm so glad tonight where I stand. My kids where they sit. My wife where she sits. My family where they sit. All over the place here. I'm so thankful that somebody talked about the fire of the Holy Spirit. You can't live like hell and not expect that fire of the Holy Spirit to chasten you. Amen? And the last thing that a seed needs to grow and flourish is time. The best time to plant a tree, go back to that picture, that last one. The last one, Paulie, the tree. That's not the tree. The tree, the last slide. The best time to plant a tree is 20 years ago. The next best time is today. Stop going to church. Be the church. Be planted in the house of the Lord and watch the Lord lay his hand on you and flourish. I want to do one more thing. I'd be amiss if I didn't do this. It's 8 after 8. I'm going to dismiss you. But if you've gone to church for years, years and years and years, in and out, up and down, this church, that church, if you've done that and you say, Ryan, I'm that guy, dude. I've never been planted. Sir, I've never been planted in. I just run around all over the place. I see now, Ryan, why I haven't grown the way I could have. I'm going to meet you right here. Bradley, come on up here. Aaron, come on up here. We're going to meet you right here. We want to pray for you because being planted costs you something. But the benefits so outweigh. That video, that clip of the vineyards, that's textbook. I knew when I saw that. That's been burning in me for a month now. Beautiful testimony of his faithfulness. If you need prayer tonight, come down. Father, in Jesus' name, thank you for your word. Lord, I apologize to you if I wandered here and there, but I pray that this word would be sown into someone's heart in this room. Father, you'd sow people into the house of the Lord. Not for fanfare, not for numbers, not for anything but your glory. We commit it all to you, Father. No flesh glory in your sight. Thank you for your house. Thank you for your people. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Did you enjoy the word tonight? Listen, if you need prayer tonight, if this word was for you, this is the first step to it. Come down here. Commit your life to Christ one more time and begin to devote yourself. Get planted in the house of the Lord. I love you. Have a great night.